Good evening, everyone. My name is Stephanie Sansbury from Mobile, Alabama, and I'd like to extend a warm welcome to everyone on this Mentoring for Free Saturday Skills Call and to all of those that are going to be listening to the recording of this call in the future. Today is Saturday, the 1st of October, 2011. Mentoring for Free is not an MLM company, and we're not an affiliate program. There's going to be no cost to you for this, or any of our more than 10 live generic training calls and interactive discussions that we have each week. Mentoring for Free is simply a community of volunteers who believe in the value of education, personal development, and in sharing what we know works. Our purpose is to help anyone in any company succeed in network marketing by providing education, coaching, mentoring, and support within a mastermind environment. It is my pleasure to introduce the author of Evil Medicine, the creator of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and the co-founder of Mentoring for Free, from Monticello, Florida, my good friend and mentor, Mr. Richard Dennis.
Thanks very much, Stephanie. Greatly appreciate the introduction. One of my most outstanding memories of my childhood, it was 1954, and I was in second grade, and I normally walk to school in the morning, but we lived right off Lake Erie on the east side of Cleveland, and I'm sure you've heard of lake effect snow, and this particular night, we had just gotten deluged with snow. My mother drove me to school, and it's about a little over a mile away, and I get into school, and they'd canceled school, and so I had to walk home through all this snow, and I get home, and my dad was a traveling salesman, and he was home not long after I was, because they had canceled his travel plans because of the snow. And so it's just all this snow, and about noon or so it stopped, and my dad says, "I got an idea. Why don't we go out in the back and build an igloo?" And so we did, and it's one of the great memories of my childhood. We spent several hours building this igloo, and I could actually crawl inside it and lie inside the igloo. And I'm so jealous of my guests tonight, Bob and Anna Bassett, because they get to live in an igloo all year round.
Oh, man. We're always here. Where the heck is he going with this one?
We'll be bringing the dog sled and dogs down to your place very soon, Richard.
Welcome to the Colors Call, guys.
Well, thank you. Well, every color's going to be white now.
Always a pleasure.
So where would you like to start tonight?
Well, why don't we start with that crazy feeling or that inexplicable thing that happens to all of us as network marketers. We know that there are thousands and thousands of people out there who desperately need our opportunity. An extra way, a way to make some extra money, or plan B, whatever you want to call it. Most people want to come home from a job. Most people would like to retire a spouse from a job or set up a legacy income for their kids. We think, or we believe, otherwise we wouldn't be in the business, that most people need our products, whether we're selling, communication services or legal plans or lotions and potions, weight loss, all these things most people need, not necessarily want, but they need these things. So we do manage occasionally to get someone who's interested, actually interested, and is willing to listen to us, and we give our presentation. Now, if it was like our first presentation, it would be about an hour long with footnotes.
In the wrong language.
In the wrong language. So the first presentation I ever saw was 2 hours long, but the presenter was speaking the right language. Now, what happens? You know the person needs or wants your business opportunity. They want some extra money, and they probably would like your products. And at the end of your presentation, they say, "No." Or they say it in code. "I've got to go talk it over with my wife," or "I've got to go talk it over with my husband." And that's just a secret code of saying no.
So learning the colors is a wonderful way of speaking in the right language to each personality. And we know that there are four personalities.
Okay, so that and what has happened there is that you can make a beautiful presentation, But if you're speaking the wrong language, they just don't understand. One of the examples, Richard, I could give you is, supposing you knew somebody Hungarian, for example, and they gave you a business presentation in perfectly flawless Hungarian, and what would your reaction be? I'm pretty sure you'd look at them like the...
nice language.
Yeah, nice language. I always that dog, you remember the old Victor, was it RCA Victor dog looking into the big megaphone?
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Yeah, if you can remember your childhood, you can certainly remember that dog, the RCA Victor dog. And he's got his head cocked up like he doesn't really understand what's going on. Well, that's the way our prospects regard what we're saying. We start talking mumbo-jumbo, residual income and leverage and all this kind of stuff. Most people don't understand what we're talking about. And it gets worse than that because, really, we are talking to what could be a person who could be one of four different colors of personalities. Now, these are like dialects of English. And so just so you understand this, the four colors that Anna was talking about are yellow, blue, red, and green. So take a piece of paper, everybody. If you haven't seen this before, just take a piece of paper, draw a vertical line that splits it down the middle, and another horizontal line that splits it across from side to side. So you've got now got four quadrants. And at the top of the page, write open, and at the bottom of the page, write closed. So at the bottom of the vertical line, you'll have closed, and at the top of the vertical line, you'll have open. Over to the left, you'll have indirect, and over to the right, you'll have direct. So we've got open and closed, indirect and direct. Now, a much easier way to think about this, if you think about open as open arms, people at the top of this chart are huggy. They'll greet you with open arms. People who are closed, picture the arms folded, not interested in hugs. People don't want to get close to you. Now, over on the left, you'll have indirect. And if you think of those people as quiet people, and over to the right, direct, those are the talkative people. So we've got huggy, not huggy, and then on the left we've got not talky, but over to the right we've got talky. These are very scientific terms, by the way, Richard. The system's been around for a long time. It's pretty highly developed.
And so the top left box, you want to put a Y in there for yellow, and the top right box, you want to put a big B for blue, and the bottom left is green, and the bottom right is red.
Okay, so the yellow, blues, reds, and greens going around clockwise, and we're going to talk about each of those in turn, and then we're going to give you three or four questions to ask people. Because it's one thing to know what color of personality you're talking to, but quite another to know what to say to those people. So this is a good tool, but you have to know how to use the tool. So we're going to give some do's and don'ts for dealing with and adjusting your speech to match the speech and the concepts that the yellows, blues, reds, and greens deal with.
And there are some questions that we can ask, some general questions that we can ask that will then help you identify what color of personality that person is. Once you identify the color, it will make it easier for you to then speak in that language.
That's right. So those questions are coming up in a second, so get ready for those. Meanwhile, we're working on the quadrants. In the upper left, you've got yellow, the yellow personalities. These are the helpers. The main purpose in life for the yellow is to help people. So these are the people that serve the cookies and bring the refreshments to the meeting. If you think back to June Cleaver in Leave It to Beaver or in is it Happy Days, Mrs. C., they were always taking care of everybody.
Mother Teresa
is a yellow. Okay, now, speaking of Mother Teresa, yellows can be excellent leaders. They just don't lead from the front of the room. Mother Teresa probably never told anybody it's my way or the highway. Right? So you want some yellows on your team. You want people from every color on your team. So the yellows make up about 35% of the population. Okay, upper right, the blues, party animals. All right, now, let's go back to the yellows for a minute. If you think of the yellow as a teddy bear, picture a yellow teddy bear. If you're an artist, you can draw a yellow teddy bear. Get your Crayolas out. Draw a yellow teddy bear in the upper left quadrant. In the upper right quadrant, these are the blue party animals. Draw a blue chimp or a blue monkey swinging from vine to vine.
Yahoo! Yeah. Party time.
It is party time. So anything that has to do with fun, fun, fun. If it's not fun, the blues aren't interested. And somebody that might be you might remember too is what was the name of the Mel Gibson, the cop in, help us, Richard, I can't remember the name of the movie. Mel Gibson in, I keep wanting to say Dirty Harry, but it was the L.A. Anyway, it'll come to us. Mel Gibson, that crazy cop who wanted to shoot first and fill out the paperwork later. He was just all over the map.
Lethal weapon.
Lethal weapon. Thank you very much. Lethal weapon. I don't know who that was in the background there, but thank you very much. Now, that was probably a green in the background. I had that written down somewhere. And another example would be Benny Hill. If you remember the British the comedian Benny Hill, he would do about 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds of a joke, then they're on to the next. And so lots of changing of the subject, you know, lots of love to have lots of people around, and, you know, one thing and on to the next. Blues will drive you crazy. Now, blues make up about 15% of the population. And we'll talk in a second about where you might find them. Now, the Reds love to be in charge. Picture a red shark. And the red shark is the boss. And when we write down boss, we write B-O, $$.
Because, show me the money.
Right, show me the money. The red is all about the money, all about control, all about being in charge, and all about making the big money.
They are always right, too.
And they're always right. They've got all the answers. So, good example of a red would be Donald Trump, Margaret Thatcher,
Archie Bunker.
Archie had all the right answers. Okay. Reds, about 15% of the population. Now, the greens are interested in mainly in facts. Facts, information, more data. Give us more data, more data, more data. These are the people you'll see in the presentations and the meetings taking down the 17 levels of the compensation plan. They're trying to figure out whether an extra 0.25% on the 17th level is going to make a difference to his check. And the poster boy for the Greens is Mr. Spock from Star Trek.
You've given me the perfect description of Green, though, tonight, and I really thank you for it. It's just so simple and so true. No talkie, no huggy.
No talking, no huggy. That's right. So we'll go through these with the huggy-talky test and summarize it. In fact, I'll give you the test there, Richard. Okay. So, I just thought of Sergeant Joe Friday.
Just the facts, man.
Yep,
just the facts.
All we want is the facts, man. And there's a new cop on, well, maybe not a new series. Is that CSI? Or well, it's Sergeant Cho. And Cho, to me, looks like Joe Friday. I forget what program that's in. So let's go back to the huggy-talky test. Let's go back to the greens. Greens, if they're in a meeting, you're going to see them at the back of the room. Don't want to talk to people. Don't really want
to
get involved.
Close to the door. Exit. Stage left.
They probably don't even want to be there. Somebody, maybe a yellow wife or a yellow husband brought them there. But so no huggy, no talky. How about the reds, Richard?
Talkie, no huggy.
Talkie, no huggy. That's right. Now, why are the Reds talking? The Reds are talking because they are in charge. They're telling people what to do. And everybody's had the experience of phoning up a Red and say, what's this all about? Get to the bottom. Cut the chit-chat. We talked to a fellow. He was sitting in a restaurant. He had lots of time to talk to us. And he said, so how long have you been in network marketing? And he said, why do you need to know that? I said, well, I guess I don't.
Oops.
So I gave them a website, let them go before the hairs on the back of my neck got too high.
No sense in building a relationship there.
No, that's right. Cut to the chase, cut to the dollar sign. Okay, so Reds are talky, but no huggy. You can't hug a Red. There's no money in it for a Red. Okay, Blues, Richard.
Well, Blue's going to be talky-huggy.
Talky-huggy. And they drive greens crazy. A green will walk in the room, and I'm green. Tom Big Al Schrader is green. And the Blues will be all over you, telling you their life story, you know, and every detail. And
while they're choking you as they're hugging you.
Yeah, it's not the talkie that bothers me that much.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and for anybody listening, I got to tell you, a couple years ago when Richard and I both realized we were green, I made a solemn promise never to try to hug him, and he returned the favor.
And I made the solemn promise to hug both of them as often as I could.
Yeah, drive us crazy. Yeah, so I think we've been good to our word. All right, the Yellows, Richard.
Huggy, no talkie.
Huggy, no talkie. That's right, because they are very, very affectionate. They love everybody. Everybody loves them. But one of the drawbacks of being yellow is that sometimes you take a back seat to people. You let everybody else make the decisions. And that's why yellows marry reds. And that's why blues marry greens.
Reds need the yellows.
Yeah, reds need the yellows. The yellows get the chance to help a red, despite the sometimes overbearing demeanor. So anyway, there's the idea. The huggy-talky test, we think, does very well. Okay, now let's just we spend most of our time talking to people on the phone. So here are some questions that could help.
Bob, hold on just a second. This is the first time that I can recall I've heard this one, and I just think huggy-talky is terrific. I love simple stuff. It gives you a shorthand for each of the colors. You can picture each of the colors just by no huggy, no talky, huggy-talky, huggy, no talky, and no huggy, and huggy-talky. So, yeah.
I think we've invented a new kind of semaphore, Richard. That's
right,
good.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I think it's a terrific little system to help people really understand the colors quickly and use it easily.
Yeah. Well,
and
thank you,
Richard. One of the things that we love about it is that when you're on the phone, obviously you need more skills in learning the colors. But when you're out in the general public, if you really want to get a feel for the colors, you can always tell because of the huggy-talky. All you have to do is observe an individual, and often from your observations, you will be able to peg them a mile away.
And the greens don't want to actually do the test. They'll watch somebody else test to see if they're huggy.
Yeah, let me throw one thing in here, too, to give it a little bit more of a layer. Greens, we've all seen this happen, and certainly it happens with us at times. If there's something that for a green that you're really interested in, you're happy to talk about that often. And so, you know, the real test to me is for a green, talking about information, greens can do that if it's something they're really into. Emotion? No way! So,
it's too messy.
Yeah, if there's any question in your mind, think about whether the person's green or not. Are they talking about information or emotion? And if it's emotion, then it's definitely not green.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It won't come up. A green may train him or herself to do a little bit of chit-chat at the beginning of the call, but you can be pretty sure they've got the egg timer right beside them. And so it's, same thing with the reds. Though the reds won't even get into it. And I think it's in the book, Success in 10 Steps, that don't bother asking a red about his family because he does not care. She does not care. You know, why aren't you carrying pictures of your family around? Yep. Okay, so we're going to ask, and I'll just tell you these questions that we're going to ask, and they'll come up over and over again in the next 10, 15 minutes, whatever we've got left here. But these are sample questions of what you can ask people. And they're non-threatening questions. Here's one. What made you decide to get into MLM or network marketing? Or what got you into MLM? Here's a second question. What do you do for a living? What do you like about it? There's a third question. And what do you do in your spare time? So that's actually four questions. What got you started in MLM? What do you do for a living? What do you like about it? And what do you do in your spare time? And we'll go through those each of those. So what got you into MLM? Supposing the answer was the company was having a cruise, and I really wanted to get on the cruise, and they were going to stop at Cozumel and go zip lining. And
there are 3,500 people on the cruise, and I'm going to get to know every single one of them.
And there's a bar on every level. What color?
Yeah, I guess I'm playing the game here.
Yeah, we're dragging you in here.
This is a huggy-talky guy. This is the blue.
Yeah, that's definitely the blue. Okay. Supposing I asked you what got you into MLM, and you said something like, well, I think it was an interesting business model. I did some calculations on the residual income that were possible instead of keeping my occupation for the rest of my life. And I've been really enjoying studying the industry since I joined it. Color?
Green.
Absolutely. All right.
Well, I got into it because I really like the products, and I know that these products are really going to help all of my friends, all of my family members, and everyone at work.
And any extra money I make, I've been trying to get some money together for an orphanage in Costa Rica, and I'm going to make an animal shelter here close to home, too.
Yes, yellow.
You are good. Okay, now I got in because I want that bigger house. My brother has a big mansion. It's about 16,000 square feet, but I saw one just down the block, and it's about 20. It's twice as big, and I'm just going to buy that house, move in there, look down the street, and call him a loser.
And I want the big car, and I want the big yacht, and I want the yacht and the car full of money.
That's right. And I don't ever want a boss again in my life.
That's either a red or a yellow.
Thanks for giving us a choice. Red. Okay. What do you do for a living? I teach kindergarten.
I'm a nurse.
And I'm a nurse. Color?
Yeah. Well, I have my doubts about these things at times. But, you know, the more likely yellow.
Yeah, well, we shouldn't be asking somebody as cynical as you, Richard.
And we do want to point out, Richard, that sometimes we may be in the wrong occupation based on our color, and sometimes we will have to pull out the other colors. Remember one thing, we have a primary color, and we can be all the other colors under the rainbow. So even though we may be a yellow, we could be, you know, hiring and firing people. We just don't like to do that.
Yep. So you don't want to get somebody that's used to helping people into a red position like a manager or hiring and firing. It's almost like that Peter principle. You get promoted to your level of incompetence. So here you might get promoted out of somewhere where you're really useful at helping people and put into a management position where you are no good at the job. You're too kind. How about entertainers and people who are promoters and salespeople, ski instructors, bungee jumping instructors?
Well, most likely blue.
Most likely blue indeed. Accountants, bookkeepers, engineers, scientists, nerds, and geeks.
You know, I read a line recently which I loved, and I have to mention it here. An economist is like an accountant except without the personality.
That's great.
And Big Al, what was his line? He said that if you're wondering whether you're green or yellow, just check yourself for a personality. If you have one, you're not green.
Yes. Okay. So okay. That is the green you're talking about there.
Absolutely. And, of course, we all have bits of each of these in us, but these are wild, you know, extremes. If you're a CEO or a politician or a wedding planner or any kind of big-time manager, chances are you are red.
And again, we're exaggerating all of these to make it easier for all of us to identify. And sometimes, again, Richard, it might be a little difficult to identify the occupations because sometimes we take jobs strictly to make the money to pay the rent. But if we had our druthers, we'd probably be in the occupation of our choice based on our colors of personality.
That's right. And another good, here's the next question. Well, two questions here. We'll try to combine them. What do you like about what you do, and what do you do in your spare time? So both those questions are kind of the same. So, for instance, let's say you ask a nurse or a kindergarten teacher, let's say a kindergarten teacher, what he or she liked about being a kindergarten teacher. You'd think that there's a yellow profession. Well, I like bossing those little kids around. They don't talk back, and I can get them to sit in straight lines and then tell them when they can have their nap and when they can have their cookies, and I don't get any lip from them. Well, you know that's a red.
And they're in the wrong profession.
They're in the wrong profession. Those kids are going to be kind of scared.
But if they're in the right profession and they are a yellow, then they're going to say, I love helping the kids, or I love helping people. I love to volunteer my time for a hospital, for a school, whatever, animal shelter, all of those things. For a blue, again, it would be all about fun. I love to have fun with people. I love to organize this and get people into doing different things. I love the travel. I love bungee jumping.
Jumping out of airplanes.
That's right, and setting up parties and being the coordinator for that. So.
And you have to stop them talking because they'll go on and on and on and on. They love to talk.
And then for the red, if you ask what they like, well, they're all about control. They love to supervise. They don't have spare time, by the way. They're just too busy doing too many things. And so if you ask them what they do in their spare time, they're probably going to say, I don't have a spare time because I'm too busy controlling people.
That's right. And Jerry DeRino Clark is a self-professed red, and he said that he had to train himself to go for a walk in the woods with his wife and look at the trees and count the flowers. It drove him crazy, but he did it because his wife likes it. And here's a good trick.
He put himself, this is a great story, Richard. He wanted to be kind to his wife because he's on the road a lot. So she loves flowers. So he got the local florist to put him on auto ship. And once a month, they send out a big bouquet of flowers to his wife.
And it's different every time, and it's on a different day of the week. She never knows what or when she is going to get them.
Scores big points. So that's the way a red can handle themselves and tone themselves down a bit.
Red pretending they're a yellow. Now, by the way, often reds, if you ask a red what color he or she is, a lot of times they'll tell you that they're yellow. And that's because they think they're helping all the rest of us idiots do things the right way. So they've got the answer, and they're going to share the answer with us. Okay, now a green in his spare time, her spare time, might do a lot of reading, might build mathematical models, platonic solids, Archimedean solids, play with the graph paper. I love spreadsheets. I might work on my slide rule collection or my pocket protector collection. Anything that involves data, precision, facts, anything like that.
You've kind of touched on this, but to me, the number one characteristic I see is listing, you know, just creating lists of stuff, to-do lists, or and maybe it's just because it's my number one characteristic, but spend so much time putting down lists, all kinds of different lists for every aspect of my life. So I think
absolutely.
That's
and Richard, you guys never throw away anything.
Yeah. And so do you have a list collection, Richard? Do you have your list?
A list of lists?
A list of lists. I mean, you got to have several different lists. They've got to be, I don't know whether you color code them, but I put mine in different piles.
No, that's an excellent idea, though. I need to create a list of my lists. Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes you can put them in columns, too. You can put the A list and then the B list. A stands for absolutely got to do. B is I better do this. And C, I could do it. And D is, I won't die if I don't do this.
And Bob also puts it in alphabetical order.
Oh, I do not.
Then in numerical order, color codes
it. No. I don't have that time. I'm too busy building lists. Okay, now. All this is very informative, but how do we use this? Now we've spotted the colors. How do we use this? Well, we do two things. We invite people. We build a relationship of know, like, and trust, and you want to invite them and inspire them to join you in your business or use a product. So, if you are talking to a yellow, you have to stress how your opportunity or your business is going to help people. So if you've got weight loss products that say, you know, this is going to help thousands of people lose weight and avoid heart attacks and live longer so that we can all become grandmothers and grandfathers and take care of our little babies and our pets and so on.
Or if it's a service that they're going to save money and they're long distance or they're maybe a legal company, those kinds of things. Again, everything to do with help. So if you're going to be inviting them to a business opportunity meeting, you want to stress the fact that they're going to be able to help lots of people.
And and you can get them to bring cookies and refreshments, too. And so once a yellow has an idea that he or she is going to be helpful and needed, they're there in a flash.
The blues, you have to stress the fact that they are going to have lots and lots of fun. Lots of people, lots of travel. It's all about fun with them. They're going to meet so many people, they won't know what to do.
Sometimes a blue will join a company because of a convention or a cruise, not even know what the company sells. You know, come on down to a meeting. There are lots of people there for you to meet. We always have a good time. Have fun. Come on out for a few beers afterwards. It's great. People are wonderful.
It's all about bonding.
That's right.
The reds, you want to talk about the fact that they have the opportunity to make lots of money. Lots and lots of money. Big money. Huge money.
Not that little money.
No, just big money, Bob. Big, huge dollar bills.
Not that job money. We don't want no stinking job money.
That's right.
We want big money.
And last but not least, Richard, the greens. You want to stress that there's lots of information. They can look at the policies and procedures that are pages and pages. They can go through the ingredient list of your products one by one.
Down to the microgram.
Exactly. You can find out how deep the wires are buried for a long-distance company, if that's what it is. So, the idea is I have lots of information. Here's the preliminary information. When you're done with that, I have lots more. I have a whole bunch of websites can go to.
Footnotes.
Absolutely.
So that's what to stress. And let me ask you a question. Would you talk to the yellow about your compensation plan?
That's not their area of interest. So
that's right. No. And this is a hard pill for me to swallow, because I always think we should join the company that pays the best. But that's not, you know, if that thinking is not in some of the front of somebody's mind, you're going to get some strange reactions, and you've got to be ready for them, because you can't put your own color of thinking onto somebody else. And it really doesn't matter what color you are as long as you know what color your prospect is. Would you talk compensation plan to the blue? Not interested. Where's the party? Would you talk about how good the antioxidants are in your Bongo Bongo juice to the red? Doesn't care. It gets in the way of the pay plan. The red probably doesn't care whether you're selling lawnmowers or licorice, as long as there's big money in it. The green, I'm not sure what motivates the green. I think a lot of times you have to trick a green, because, you know, to come to a meeting, greens don't want to come to meetings because there are people there.
And greens want to sit on the fence for a very long time because they want to analyze everything. But here's the thing about a green, Richard. If you give them everything and they make that decision, they will be your lifelong business partners. So keep giving them the information.
And maybe the way to get a green to come to a business presentation is to say, we got lots of room at the back. Nobody's going to bother you. Nobody's going to try to hug you.
We have graph paper for you.
Okay, and speaking of green, we're down past the bottom of the hour now. You guys have gone past the bottom of the hour.
Oh, no. No.
Richard.
That's making the timekeepers twitchy.
Is there anything you want to do to tie this up now?
Just here's a good thing to remember is that if I'm a green, I would rather someone speak to me as a green in broken greenish rather than quack on as a blue. Like we always say with blues, I always say quack, 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 stay on track. So I would much rather have a blue talk to me in broken green, like the same way we speak in broken English, than to speak as a blue, because it just right. drives you crazy and drives you away. So it really doesn't matter how good you are at this. Don't become obsessed with getting perfect at recognizing all the colors or speaking that way. As long as you bear it in mind, what you'll find is that we do this anyway. We accommodate other people's styles anyway. This just gives us a kind of a formal way of looking at it.
So the important thing, Richard, is just to ask a few basic questions to find out what people want and help them get it in their language.
Terrific. As I mentioned earlier, to me, this call was valuable, so valuable to me tonight just for the huggy-talky evaluation part. You know, it's just a great little quick eval to be able to use with everyone. So anyway, thanks so much, guys, for your expertise and your input on the colors and the lesson the lessons that you taught me tonight. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. Always a treat.
Okay, appreciate everybody being on the call tonight. There will be another call at 10:30 Eastern Time. That's the bottom of the next hour. And that will be our Coach's Corner Mastermind call. The deal with the Coach's Corner Mastermind call is it's an opportunity for you to profit from the experiences and ideas of others. You get to everybody does an eval of a chapter of a book, and they will vary widely. Other people don't think the way you think, and sometimes it's a real shock to hear takes from other people on the same few paragraphs that you've been reading. So I think you'll find it real useful. Anyway, that's the Coach's Corner call at the bottom of the next hour. That's on this same line that you called in on this call tonight. So, again, appreciate Bob and Anna being on the call tonight, and thanks to everybody for being here. Hope you guys have gotten some benefit out of it. I know I have. We'll talk to you guys on the next call. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Richard. Good night, everybody.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, everybody.